Hey, this is the mad genius of poker, Mike Caro, and you're listening to Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast.
Welcome to the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, bringing you tales, tips, discussions, and great interviews, led by two veterans of the poker home game scene. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Robbie and Bruce.
March Madness, St. Patrick's Day, Daylight Savings Time, and the first day of spring. It's a packed month ahead, so be sure to include home game poker on your list of activities. In this episode, Robbie talks about his Herculean efforts to get a home game going. I touch on another mixed game with an interesting twist. We announce the latest winners of the J-Design sheet of uncut cards. We highlight one state's efforts to decriminalize home poker games and explore the ramifications of poker stars being added to the online scene in New Jersey. Chelsea, be sure to spring ahead next weekend.
Hey, how you running? Beefs, suckouts, triumphs, and tragedies from last week's home game play.
Well, Robbie, I know you've had a lot on your plate this last couple of weeks. How are you running?
Like a champion, my friend. Like a champion. We have been running well. For those who do not follow me as closely as Bruce, what he's referring to is this last week, my wife actually has been away in Singapore. I guess trying to get as far away as possible from me. that has left me with the three youngins, which means, of course, you think, okay, the guy's free, he's got all this freedom, has to get a home poker game going while his wife's away, right? So you think that would be an easy thing to do. No, apparently, the house is free, the kids are asleep after a certain time at night, so let's go, let's get it together. And, you know, whatever, I don't know. I guess people just are busy or whatever it is. I was trying everything and it just wouldn't work out. And finally I said to myself, you know what? I really just want to play. How could it possibly be that my wife is going to be away for an entire week and I didn't manage to get a game together? So I said, you know what? Let's go. Let's invest. All right. And I put it out there on Facebook and I said, okay. Free pizza at my house, free beer at my house, all you need to do is come, right? And I put in parentheses, and be prepared to lose a little money to me, but, jokingly, of course. But I was like, okay, why not? What's the big deal? I'll spring for pizza and beer. Lo and behold, right? And I didn't actually make this one public, but if you were there last night, you would know people showed up. It was great. We had a home poker game. And the best part about it, it was a great investment because I could have bought a lot more pizza and beer for the amount of money that I won yesterday. So,
home team advantage, huh? That's good.
I don't know. I guess maybe I was running well. I was running well and I was playing pretty well. There was at some point actually, to refer to one very memorable hand, I was the big stack at the table. I had, probably 20% more than the next highest stack. We were eight players, actually, and there was a four-way all-in. Now, the beauty of it is I was under the gun, and I just, without looking at my cards, I just sort of called blind, like the big blind. And, one spot after me basically went all-in. Or like raised, pretty relatively high. The next one went all in. The one after that goes all in. I look down at my cards and I see pocket kings, right? So I'm like, oh lordy lord, this is fun. So I just, hem and haw for a minute and I just push myself all in as the big stack. And, the other person sort of was committed because had a smaller stack with four all ins, right? And, I said, well, I hope someone doesn't have aces and three other players. They show all three of them had an ace. Two of them had ace queen and one of them had ace king. So I was in excellent shape and I basically felt that all three of them, the board ran out clean. I was very happy. Not to get into, the whole hand history and everything, but, that, boosted me up even more for the night. And I was like, thanks so much guys for the pizza. So, sorry, if you're listening to this, my buddies, I hope you had a good time. But it was fun. The Herculean efforts paid off. And my wife's coming home tomorrow. So maybe we'll have some other good home poker games in the future.
So that was called the blind limp then, huh? I know Chuck likes to do that a lot, too.
Once in a while, you know?
What the heck? Heck, I'll go ahead and limp.
Yeah,
I won't even look.
Just, for 50, we put like 25 cents, 50 cents. So what's 50 cents? Not a big deal. And once in a blue moon, you know, those circumstances work out. Not just to have the kings, but that everyone else also has, like, premium hands. And, you know, the money ends up going in before you even actually look at your cards, so.
Well, and if they knew you were blind limping, then they're really not really considering you as a contender or as a danger in the hand.
Yeah, what's under the gun? What's the big deal? You know?
See, how many people are in the hand? Okay, well, but Robbie's in, but he just limped and he didn't even look. So, you know, he's probably got seven deuce or something. What would have been cool is if you just somehow managed to very subtly look at the cards, but yet not let on. So like, oh man, with these pot odds, I guess even with seven deuce, I got to jump in. So, you know.
But no, that was fun, and yeah, just happy to have had the game. You know, and as I always say, you know, of course, I'm very happy that yesterday was a winning session. But of course, you know, the most fun to me about a home poker game is just playing with good friends and, you know, people that you know for a while, or, you know, even new people who you don't really know but are getting to know, win or lose. You know, that's what, you know, the pizza and the beer is all about to me. It's just having a good time, and, you know, that's what I really wanted, you know, and luckily I had it. I got a whole bunch of really good friends here.
And so the kids were cooperative as far as being tucked in their beds.
Oh yeah, they were asleep,
not interrupting and wanting drinks.
No, they were asleep. But I will say lately my 8-year-old, my oldest, she's sort of been asking a few more just inquisitive questions about poker and what's it all about and what do you do. So perhaps it's time. And you know, I will say that's pretty much the age when I learned. I've got a picture of myself sitting around that proverbial of a very literal kitchen table with my dad, with my grandpa, my grandma, and you know, learning to play a 5-card draw. So maybe it's the time.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, good job for getting folks there, and good job for surviving the week.
Thanks. And yeah, the pizza was pretty good, too.
Super.
How about you, Bruce? How you been running?
Been running okay. You know, normal. Haven't been playing quite as much the last couple of weeks. People have been on vacation, and different things have come up, and so there hasn't been quite as many games hosted.
It's only six out of seven nights for you this time?
Yeah, really. We did play last Saturday night over at our engineer Jeff's house. We did this Wheel of Games thing, only we did it the cash game version, which is similar to what we did with Robert Woolley, the poker grump, where we, you know, we invested so much cash and a portion of it got delineated to like 8 different levels, and then at the end we combined it all together and played.
Uh-huh,
so,
okay.
But one of the games we played, and again, just as more of a background, all these games were basically compiled by a gentleman by the name, and I don't know if you'd have to be a long, long time listener of the podcast. His name was, or he goes by PFAPFAP, P-F-A-P-F-A-P, PFAPFAP.
Okay.
And he was a prolific poster in the 2+2 home game poker forum.
Ah, okay.
And we got to be kind of friends. We actually had him on a show a couple of times, and he took the effort to actually put together, oh, there's probably 80 or 90 of these 3x5 laminated cards, all color-coded, of all these different games that he was able to discover that are basically variants of poker. Not very many wild card games or progressive pots, but this one I think was called Raiders, Stud High-Low Raiders. Raiders meaning the football team.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you're not a football fan, or if you are a football fan, I'm sure you could call it the 49ers or the Steelers or the Cowboys or the Jets or whatever your team happens to be.
Not the Patriots.
Not the Patriots. Definitely not the Patriots. Yeah, you'd lose every hand. But no, you'd probably win every hand, but just alienate everybody. So, but it's just like stud high low, stud eight or better, where, you know, it's eight or better, eight or below is the half the pot for the low hand if anybody qualifies, and then a regular 5-card hand for the top hand wins. But there's one extra variant where you'd split the pot three ways, and that third variant is the winning football hand. And by the football hand, you take all of the numbers that could score in a football game. So you've got the number one or the ace, which would score, you know, a point after. The deuce, which could be either a safety or a two-point conversion. The three, which would be a field goal. And the six, which would be the touchdown. Uh-huh. So at the end of the game, anybody with the most points adding all those together in a five-card hand would win the football portion of the pot. So, you know, if you've got somebody with a 7-5 low, they'd get the low. You've got somebody with two pair or a set, they'd get the high. You've got somebody with maybe a 6, a 3, a 2, and an ace. They might win the football because that would be, what would that be, at 12 points. Plus, it would be a pretty good low. So, I mean, there's a possibility with those numbers that you could both you could scoop the low and the football. So you'd have two-thirds of the pot rather than one-third of the pot. And it sounds more complicated than it is. It's really pretty simple once you get playing it. You just keep in mind those, what is that, 1, 2, 3, 4 numbers. And if you get those four cards on there, especially, you know, in this particular variant, if you had a pair of sixes, that's a pretty strong hand.
But ace would only play low, if I'm understanding. Right.
Yeah, ace would only play low football in the football. It would be the one. So you got the ace, the deuce, the tray, and the sixes. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So
a lot of creativity to come up with a variant of that nature.
Yeah, you know, and of course, again, we're through with football for the next year. So if you're kind of missing the game and want to kind of get back into that football frame of mind, it was kind of fun to have.
Sounds pretty good.
Hey, we've got some pretty good emails from a couple of folks as far as the J Design sheet of uncut cards. As you remember, we've been offering it for somebody that just communicates with us either by the feedback at toppair.net or our Facebook site or
on Twitter, at toppair.
And we've got a couple of good entries that we picked, so let me announce those winners. First one was Pat, and he's actually from British Columbia, Canada. And yeah, that's kind of cool. Our first winner that's outside the contiguous, so the 50 states of the U.S. Pat says, "I really enjoy your podcast. Been running our home game for 10 years now. We run a league tournament once a month where points are collected based upon the finish, which is then used to calculate position and chip stacks for the year-end championship. We also play once or twice a month, just regular tournaments, but they strictly are playing hold'em. We have about 2 or 3 new inquiries every month and generally have about a pool of 20 to 28 people per tournament. One of the founders is a poker aficionado with cards and chips, and I didn't realize it until a couple of months ago. We've been using J Design cards for about 8 years. So that's from Pat, and I responded back. I say, "Wow, that's interesting, Pat. How did you hear about us, or how did you come across those J Design cards?" And he forwarded me another email from, I guess, one of the co-founders of the group. His name is Chris, but he goes by Squiggly. And his response was, "I have one of these." He's already has a sheet of the uncut cards of the J Design cards. He wanted in a contest that Jason was running with the Anti Up podcast. So he says, "Now we can frame them both at the same time. It would be really cool for the wall in the poker room." He says, "If you're responding to him, tell him I bought some of Jason's very first run of playing cards years ago after reading about him on homepokertourney.com and chiptalk.net. These were the classic Paisley version, which we played with for years. The last few years, we've played with his classic Victorian cards, which are his latest release. They are my all-time favorite cards in feel, weight, and design, though the cards have been starting to show their wear after 3 or 4 years. We should probably pony up and buy another 3 setups." And then he concludes by saying, "I didn't realize you're listening to the podcast. I used to listen to them religiously and even contributed to the conversation via email a few times. But as my kids grew older and time decreases, I've kind of lost touch." So, Chris, get back involved and start listening again. And congratulations to Pat for winning.
For sure. And, you know, one of the best things, you know, I do this as well with podcasts that I love. Look, I've also got, you know, kids. I just talked about one earlier in the show. And, you know, yeah, time is definitely at a premium. But what I find is when you're commuting to work, actually, that quote-unquote dead time, even if it's like 15 minutes or up to an hour or whatever it is, great time to listen to podcasts, you know, especially, you know, ones like ours, a little under an hour in length. It's nice, the sweet spot. You know, you can get half of it on the way to work, half on the way back, and, you know, then you consume that, you know, love of poker type podcast, you know, oh, wow, that came out really bad. That poker podcast that you love. But yeah, that's a really good time, and that's when I do it. So, you know, if you're looking for time, that's a good, sweet spot. But sure, wow, thanks just for listening and for that great story and for letting us know about that, at feedback@toppair.net. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely pass your comments on to Jason too. So our second winner is Gary, and he's in the Southern California area. Sherman Oaks.
That's where I'm from, Southern California.
He says, thank you, Bruce and Robbie. Very excited and looking forward to receiving the uncut sheet of the J Design cards. Been a long time listener of the podcast, and I'm proud to say I've heard every episode.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, that is a
loyal listener.
Boy.
You guys do such a great job with the show and making it interesting, educational, and fun. So, wow, we love to hear that. That's exactly what we strive for.
Whew. I think that Gary, right? Gary belongs in our Hall of Fame every single episode.
Right, and he concludes, kind of interesting. He says, hey, Robbie, my sister lives in Israel. And so the next time I'm in town, I'd love to play at one of your games. He didn't say what town or whereabouts in Israel. And then he said, Bruce, if I make it to Utah, I would love to check out one of your games with Eric also. All the best,
Gary. That sounds amazing. So. Lock it up, man. Seat open, Gary, 100%.
Yeah. So, again, we love to hear this feedback from listeners and love the great winners. And we'll come up. We're probably going to give a couple more away over the next three or four episodes. And so we'll come up with a little twist on how to win the next time. So be sure and keep listening and be sure to communicate with us. Again, we love to hear you at feedback@toppair.net.
And we're certainly monitoring the social media airwaves. Just hit us up at Top Pair on Twitter. And look for the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast on Facebook. Especially you, Mr. Gary. Ever want to come to Israel? That's where I'll be. We'll exchange some information and hopefully meet each other real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we preach the gospel of home games here at Top Pair, but we admit, in a lot of places, the activity's in the gray area. We applaud one state for its efforts to bring it into the light. Are you hosting a home poker game but don't have the space for a dedicated poker table?
Have you tried playing on the kitchen or dining table only to have cards fly off and the chip stacks crumble?
The Poker Hoodie Snug Fit Game Surface and Table Pad is the perfect solution. Play like the pros wherever you go.
The smooth, padded gaming surface of the Poker Hoodie will instantly convert your dining, kitchen, or patio table into a poker table and take your game to the next level.
Cards are easy to pick up and glide smoothly. Chips bounce gently and are easy to control, plus spills are cleaned up with no fuss.
Soft and pliable neoprene conforms to your table's unique surface, and the flexible tightening system ensures a snug fit.
The logo carry bag neatly stores your poker hoodie and allows you to take your game on the road.
Art graphics are easily applied, so you can add your favorite logo or team mascot. It's a great idea if you're planning a poker club or a charity event and want to showcase the main sponsors.
Visit PokerHoodie.com for all the details, or click the link on the Top Pair homepage.
Poker Hoodie looks forward to seeing you at your next home game.
Seat open, table one.
Hey, wait a sec. I know this guy. He sat on my left yesterday. Ah, I wish I remember how he played.
You should have taken notes.
Oh, come on. I'm not bringing a notebook to the table. I'll look like a fish.
You don't have to. There's an app for that. Poker Notes Live. Notice a tell? Want to keep track of your live poker sessions? Use the Poker Notes Live app to tag and classify your opponents. Record your wins and losses, and improve your overall performance at the poker table. Poker Notes Live. Get it now on Google Play and the App Store. Don't ante up without it. Brought to you by CardPlayerLifestyle.com.
Just a few folks coming over to play? What could possibly go wrong?
Hey, Robbie, I think you sent me the link to this article that appeared in Card Player magazine about a state finally taking some proactive efforts to make home game poker a little more legitimate. I appreciate that.
I certainly did, yes.
It actually is pretty current. Came out in their February 29th issue, which is a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting, you know, and it really obviously is germane to home game poker, because we preach a lot of home game poker, but in a lot of places, you know, my hometown, Salt Lake, one of them, it's really in the gray or dark gray or black area, even though, you know, nobody really gets after you unless you're making a big enterprise out of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this happens in Maryland, which is over on the East Coast, just outside of Washington, D.C., it says a bill cleared Maryland's House of Delegates last week that would remove criminal penalties that are rarely, if ever, enforced on home poker games. The law on the books right now says that you can go to jail for up to a year and be hit with a $1,000 fine simply for playing in a home game, no matter how small the stakes are, and even if there's no rake or fees of any kind. It says House lawmakers on 30 voted 139-0 in favor of getting rid of the criminal penalties. In its House Bill number 127, it says it would allow those 21 years of age and over to conduct a home game if the game is not held more than once a week in an individual's home. The bill says the game must be among players who share a pre-existing social relationship. So I guess that would mean friends or fraternity brothers or employers or fellow employees or relatives or something like that. Mm-hmm. This is, I thought, really interesting. According to the bill, the game must have a limit of $500 on the total amount of money, tokens, representing money, or anything or consideration of value that may be wagered by all players in a 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. So I saw that and I thought, wow. Originally, at first glance, I thought, well, $500 buy-in, that's a pretty healthy game. Right. But I guess you read it and it's not that. It's there can be a maximum of $500 on the table mm-hmm. at any time, which that would be a pretty low-limit game.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got eight players and, you know, a $30 buy-in and a $30 rebuy, that's basically a buy-in and a rebuy for everybody. So.
Right.
It does clarify. It says the language means there is a limit of $500 that can be on a poker table between all players at any given time.
Right.
While the provision is clear about a dollar amount, the person that was talking about it says it's highly doubtful that if you go over by $40, there's going to be any cops knocking at your door. The point of the bill is to make the act of playing at home legal. And then the final little thing, which again I found really interesting, it says they also put a provision in there for card games taking place in common areas of 55 and older residential communities.
they would also be
legal under the bill if they meet these certain conditions. And then he goes on to say, we actually had an incident in a retirement community where some people were busted, and the public got enraged because of that. And the final thing, it's illegal to advertise the games, according to the proposal.
Right.
So, yeah, yes, an interesting law. I applaud Maryland for, you know, being proactive and kind of taking the cloud away from everybody and saying, okay, as long as you meet, you know, these three or four criteria, go ahead and have your home game and breathe easy. You know, you're not going to be at risk. You're not going to be in jeopardy or anything like that. And I don't know if that's going to set it as kind of a template maybe for other municipalities or other states in that to say, okay, well, this is a pretty good outline of a home game bill that we could have to kind of take it out of the illegal part of it. So
right.
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I got to say, I also I've got two things to say about this. The main thing, first of all, is that's wonderful. I feel like this is sort of like housekeeping. In a way,
uh-huh.
for the legislators over there. You know, the fact is, you know, it's almost in a sense sort of like prohibition of like, you know, when people were drinking alcohol and stuff, like the 18th Amendment and then the 21st Amendment, people are going to be playing home game poker. So might as well legalize it, give it a framework. You know, 90 some odd percent of these home games is exactly as you described, low limit, amongst friends who know each other, et cetera, not really advertised. That's home game poker. That's our audience. Here on the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, that's what they're sort of talking about. So I say, absolutely, way to go, Maryland legislators, way to set an example. And, you know, those stories that you hear once in a while. I think it was South Carolina where like the home game is busted. And, you know, hopefully legislators will be able to look to this bill, and law now as precedent and pretty much do something similar and just like, you know, take away the stigma and just, you know, say, yeah, it's America's game. It's the world's game. Let's allow people to play poker. So that's the one hand. On the other hand, who on earth is the Barney Fife who is going to be sitting by the door saying, yeah, that's $501 on the table, sir. And I mean, come on. You know, I get it. But like, this is the most unenforceable possible bill. You know, I mean, when you just look at, you know, the pure technicals of the language and stuff. And again, I understand what they're trying to do and the bill has to say something, but you know, you can imagine these legislators, you know, just hypothetically picture this, close your eyes and you say to yourself, you know, these guys are sitting, girls are sitting around a table like, okay, we're going to legislate this. Exactly how much money can be on the table? How old do these players have to be? And did anyone think to themselves, okay, and we're going to send in the, you know, the SWAT team, okay, because there's a 20-year-old who hasn't had his 21st birthday yet at the table. It's just, I find it funny just to sort of like look at the opposite side of it, and hopefully it'll get everyone listening to the podcast laughing a little bit. So it doesn't seem like the most enforceable of bills, but I just sort of feel like if and when a game does cross the line and it's busted, they could also sort of look to the language of this law and say, okay, you know, these are the things that you violated, and this carries this such and such a penalty, etc. But you know, the main point, as I said before, is I certainly agree with the spirit of the law and hope that it will be adapted across many, many more states.
Well, and then the other area that I got a chuckle out of is the fact that all the players have to share a pre-existing social relationship. So not only are they going to count every, you know, chip that's on the table, right, and do some quick addition, but they're going to be, okay, let's take them in a private room one at a time so they can't coach each other.
Right.
Okay. How do you know the guy that's hosting this game?
Right.
You know, how long have you known him? And
exactly. Is your Facebook relationship real or is it just fabricated? Right.
What's his nickname? Where did he go to college? You know, some of those qualifying questions to make sure that you're not a stranger. So
this would be a funny episode to watch. That's
It did have one other point which I didn't read, which obviously is an important point and one that makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. It says the legislation adds that no one can benefit financially from the poker game except by winning as a player in the game. So that's the old you know, no rake or no tips type of thing
that I like.
Financially, unless you win, you know, somebody else's money. So
right, that I like.
But yeah, I, you know, like I say, there never will be anything even like that passed here in Salt Lake. They're so, the social climate and everything is so dead set against any type of gambling or fun or anything at all. So no hope for that here. But like I say, I think it is kind of a first step, you know, kind of putting a foot into the lake and saying, nobody's biting it off. This is not going to be too bad. And you know, there's thousands and tens of thousands of people we know because of all our listeners that play home games. And so we applaud that this, Maryland made this step, and it's really cool. I'll definitely put a link to this on the notes for this episode. So if you want to explore it, you know, further as far as the specifics and that, we'll allow you to do it.
And I'll even go one step further. You know, so many times when, you know, you want to be active and get something done, everyone's like, turn to your legislators, right? Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Here is an example where the legislators did something. If you live in Maryland, you know, reach out to them and say thank you. You know, why not? You know, I'm sure that's something they'd be appreciative of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. An attaboy. I agree wholeheartedly. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I had another incident that happened this week that kind of made me go hum. One of our players, I know we've talked about him here on the podcast before, Doc. He was a doctor and anesthesiologist at a local clinic and a hospital not far from here. Mm-hmm. Was a frequent player in the game, was always one up for a weird twist or a weird variation, or liked to play these weird mixed games. Mm-hmm. And was a character. About a year ago, he moved away to Northern California, and we definitely missed him. And you know, as usual, when you're moving away, everybody says, well, let's keep in touch and, you know, let's communicate and that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, very rarely happens. But it happened to occur to me because one of the funny tales he told one time is that and his wife used to play play too. They actually got married on the 29th of February.
Okay.
They kind of joke that, you know, well, even though we've got a, you know, 15-year-old daughter, we've only been, you know, we've only practiced at 4 anniversaries, you know. People go, oh, really? You know, what happened here? He's very religious, so obviously
right.
That would be the case. So I just dropped them both a quick email saying, hey, happy anniversary on the 29th, I remember. And what is this, the 5th anniversary? And, of course, both of them responded right back. Wow, great of you to remember. We're honored. And, yes, thanks for your best wishes. And this is our 5th anniversary, mm-hmm. even though we've got a 17-year-old daughter. So.
Right.
And it just made me think, you know, about And I know we've talked about this kind of in the last episode when we talk about how to treat new members and people that are new to the game,
right.
and you expressing that what you enjoy about the game is the familiarity and the same people and the comfort level in that you get. But we have obviously a bigger group here in Salt Lake with a lot of games and comings and goings, and you just wonder what happened to all the people that used to be really regulars, that used to be able to see them at least once or twice a month and really had some rapport with, and then all of a sudden they just kind of drop off the map. Ooh. You know, and don't know if it's due to a, you know, change in their life circumstances, you know, a marriage or kids or young kids growing up. If there's been some kind of a clash with maybe one of our regular players, some bad blood or something, and it's like, well, I can't stand so-and-so, so I'm not going to go back to a game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have a bad losing streak or a change in their financial situations where they just didn't have the disposable income? Maybe they've realized after, you know, 6 or 7 months of going through a lot of money that they possibly could have a gambling problem, and so they're going to stay away, you know, just not to go anymore.
Or maybe they were like, hey, I can keep beating these games. Maybe I should turn pro. Let's just go and play 5-10, you know, 25-50.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens once in a blue moon.
Yeah, yeah, and there are some bigger games here in the Valley that I know about I don't play in, but that could be a possibility, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
So it just makes you wonder, you know, sometimes these people that we're just so comfortable with, and then all of a sudden they're not around anymore, and that just kind of made me think about it. I haven't had the instance, knock on wood, of anybody that was a real regular in the group, you know, passing away.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of fought that in my mind, you know, with some of the problems old Gutterball's been having. You know, what
right.
would we do? We have like a special tournament or, you know, a special game or something and that type of thing, but that I haven't had to cross that bridge. I know. In your reporting, you had a guy that was part of your group that had a kind of a chronic illness and that, and so that might have crossed your mind or not. I don't know if you've had anybody that is a regular that's passed away, but I don't know.
Well, not too much. I mean, I'm you know, still very much in my 30s, you know, so thankfully, you know, we've got a little bit more life expectancy. But of course, you know, my dad's group, you know, they're older, you know, one generation above mine. And, you know, I never think about it really or anything like that, you know, still thankfully very, very far away from everybody. But, the fact of the matter is, you know, when you play with people for, you know, years and years at a time, you become, you know, much more than just, you know, poker adversaries and poker friends. You know, you become life friends, and, you know, it's a tough thing to lose anybody, any friend. And, you know, let's hope that threshold stays very, very far away from us, because, you know, that's a tough thing. I can imagine, you know, sitting around the table and, like, you know, one of you is clearly missing. It's like you got to have, like, an honorary seat at the table that just sort of stays yeah. empty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, not to be morose or dwell too much on a negative or anything, but I would love to hear if any of our listeners out there have had that situation where they've had a regular that is been an integral part of their group and their game for a number of years that by some reason, either health or an accident or something, you know, has passed away, kind of maybe what their feelings are or what they've done as far as a way to remember and a way to honor them or anything like that. So if anything like that occurs to you, you know, let us know. We'd love to share it. Feedback@toppair.net.
And of course, you know, of course, on Twitter @toppair and on Facebook, look for the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast. That, you know, I think that would make for some interesting reading. So, you know, stories we'd probably share here with the rest of our listeners as well.
Yeah. Well, enough negative. Let's
yes.
go on to the positive.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of positive. I'll just jump right into it if that's all right with you, Bruce.
All right.
Okay,
take it away.
We're talking about New Jersey and Poker Stars. Everyone remembers that fateful day, April 15th, 2011, otherwise known as Black Friday, when legal-regulated online poker disappeared from American shores. And here it is back. Well, it's already back in Nevada, New Jersey, and Delaware. But the big site that everyone was playing on is Poker Stars. And here we go. March 21st is the day that they are coming back to New Jersey. And that's it. You know, they're back. Poker Stars back in the United States.
Wow. Now, are they in any of the other states that it's been made legal, or is this their first foray back?
This is their first. This is their first foray. Almost 5 years to the day that they disappeared from our computer screens and stuff. Of course, they've been active all around the world and everything, but in the United States, you cannot have played at Poker Stars since April 15th, 2011. And here, New Jersey is the first state to open up for them. Important to know, a couple things. First of all, you don't actually need to be living in New Jersey. You just need to be there in New Jersey, uh-huh, within the geographical borders. So you could be, let's say, in Utah, and you can go ahead and open an account and then, fly to New Jersey for a vacation or family event or whatever it is. And when you're there, you can go ahead and play. So that's pretty cool to know.
And that's kind of different, isn't some of the other states? Again, I don't follow it nearly as closely as a lot of people, because it's a impossible dream here in Utah. But it seems like some of the other states, they actually have a residency requirement where you have to give them a cell phone number that's registered in the state or something like that.
Well, I don't think. You're right on the cell phone thing. I don't think you need to be resident, but the cell phone is basically it's a geolocation thing that's built into the law. Because the fact is, when you're logged on and playing, how can they tell, where you're located? So, yeah, the software sort of pings your phone, wherever your phone is, even if it's like a Hawaii phone number. If you happen to be in New Jersey, and you want to be playing, that's fine. And you have your phone with you, and they can say, oh, okay, well, he's clearly, or she is clearly, in the geographical, within state borders. So that's okay. And the second point is, with regard to the whole state borders, it's an intrastate network, not interstate and not international. So basically, anyone who's playing in New Jersey is going to be playing against other people on PokerStars within the state of New Jersey. So it's not like the game, I'm sure the games obviously are available 24/7, but it's not like you're going to have the gigantic international player pool, at least right now. It's a baby step. It's a first step, but a really awesome step. Again, there has been, I guess you can play on WSOP.com over there, and you can play on Borgata.com. So it does exist, but, when you think online poker, there's really only one name that sort of springs to mind immediately, and that's PokerStars. And, here they are. They're back, back in New Jersey.
Wow. And again, I didn't realize that too. I thought that, once you logged on and you were in the state that recognized it as a legal venue, you'd be playing with everybody else that was on there legally. People in England, or people in Denmark, or people in France, or people in, Slovenia. But it's just people in New Jersey. That's interesting.
Well, that's what's called the ring fencing. And the reason it's done, unfortunately, that's why I said it's a baby step, but there's nothing really PokerStars can do about that. They can go ahead and technologically open it up if they want to, but the law prohibits them from doing so. The fact is, like every good government, they are greedy and tax hungry, and they just sort of say, well, why would we want, the potential tax revenues from our, citizens and people in our state going somewhere else, And what they don't realize is, when there's no liquidity, when there's no giant player pool, the games will not be going as often, and they will not be going 24/7 or, with too many tables. So I think it's a little bit of small-mindedness to just, close the borders, if you will. But, like I said, it's a first step, and hopefully, maybe they'll come to agreements with Nevada, with Delaware, the other states where it's legal, and you can get people playing on in at least in those time zones. I'll think about it. It's 3 a.m. in New Jersey. People ain't gonna be playing, but if the borders were open and you can play internationally, 3 a.m. you log on and you play against people in Australia, people in Europe and stuff. So that's why it was so great, when everything was in the wild, wild west like that.
Yeah, I know you did a pretty good article on it, or one of your contributors.
Yes.
That's on your card player lifestyle, and we'll definitely put a link to that.
Thanks. I want to give credit to James Gwill. He wrote a really great piece. Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of what it said in that piece talked about all the incentives that they're coming up with.
Certainly.
to get people to sign up or to get people back, and they sounded pretty cool. They mentioned something called a spin and go, and yes. I'd never heard that. I don't know exactly what that is.
Well, it's an interesting type of what do you call it? It's a tournament, basically, and it involves I've never actually played in one, but to the best of my knowledge, and you know, it's been going all over the rest of the world, and you know, here it's a new thing for U.S. players. You know, it involves either three people who sit down, and basically you buy in for, you know, X amount of dollars, and before the game begins, the tournament, like there's sort of like this random factor of like a dice being rolled or a random number generator, or whatever it is how much is the prize pool going to be for. So most of the time, sort of like a, you know, a scratch-off card for a lottery. Uh-huh. So, you know, you're paying a small amount of money, and usually, let's say if you're paying, you know, $3 a piece, the prize pool is going to be, you know, whatever it is, $8 after you take off the rake or whatever it is, and, you know, the top player is going to get winner take all or that sort of thing. But sometimes you can just, you know, luck out, and you play in a spin and go, and the prize pool could be up to $1 million. At least that's international. Mm. And you have people who've won $1 million. You know, maybe it's like six people who are playing. Again, I'm sorry, I don't know the exact details, but you know, when you sign up for a spin and go, that's the idea. You sort of spin the dice, right? And you go, this is the prize pool we're playing for. You know, it's a pretty cool thing. Now I imagine, you know, with the limited amount of players in New Jersey, it's not going to have $1 million spin and goes, but, certainly that's, you know, it's something that sort of gets people excited to play. You know, okay, usually up until now, when you play a $3 tournament, you know, the prize pool is going to be $9 minus the rake and that's it. But this is sort of like, hey, you could also get lucky and for a small little buy-in be playing for a fortune, you know?
Right. Wow. That's cool. I've never heard that before. Thanks for explaining that. Sure. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. So, and then you, I think you had a chance when you were in the Bahamas to, even look at their mobile app. And I guess that's going to be, you know, something too that, New Jersey residents can download and use that mobile app as far as access to it, right?
Well, if you'll excuse me for just a brief moment while I just meditate and, re-experience how awesome the Bahamas was. 1 second, Bruce.
Yeah.
Okay, we're ready. That was awesome. yes, it was very cool. The app is called Duel by PokerStars, and I challenge you to a duel, that sort of thing. And as far as I know, I don't know if it's rolled out 100% to the entire world yet, but you can pretty much download it from anywhere. It's a standalone app. It's not like you're playing, you know, with the whole group of players, like the whole PokerStars lobby or any, you know, poker room lobby that you used to. It's meant to be for heads up play, and you can just go ahead and play money against anyone else with a PokerStars account. So you can do that from anywhere, but for sure, you know, I did definitely try it out. It's a really cool app. And you know, it's fun to just sort of play against your friends. It's sort of like a Words with Friends. It's turn based that you go ahead and you play your side of the heads up hand. You make your decision, you play it, and then it's your friend's turn, they get pinged, but, excuse me, you don't need to be playing simultaneously, like one against the other. It could be they're in the middle of a meeting or on the other side of the world, and they're not ready, but when they're ready, they'll play their turn, and then it pings back to you. So, it's also a really cool concept. I wrote a whole article reviewing, what the Duel by PokerStars app is all about. And I firmly believe, you know, having tested it myself, that's, you know, a new product that PokerStars will be pushing, especially in New Jersey. It's not meant for high stakes play, but, you know, a couple people will duel it out for a few bucks a piece. It's the way to get people excited about poker. So the fact is, anyone who had, you know, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you were in New Jersey and you had a PokerStars account, you can use, if you remember your screen name, if you remember your password, you can, you know, reactivate. Yeah, you reactivate your account, and you can start playing again. Or if you're new, if you're like, hey, I guess it's legal, this sounds pretty cool, maybe Duel will entice you. But what I guarantee, and this is what James wrote so eloquently in that article, you know, is the PokerStars machine is coming, can they succeed in New Jersey? Well, I guarantee you they will certainly be investing a lot of money to give it their best shot. So, exciting day for everyone in New Jersey, or who will be in New Jersey, planning to be in New Jersey on March 21st and beyond, and hopefully the first step of many for PokerStars to just, you know, go back as far as possible into the United States online poker market.
Well, that's cool. We'll definitely we'll put a link to that article on the app too there. So
any of our listeners that are interested can, you know, click on that and find out all the deets, as they say. But but yeah, it's kind of these two articles that we've explored sort of have some commonality, you know, talking about the Maryland article making home game poker legal and taking it out of the shadows. And we're hoping maybe one state at a time that that'll kind of, domino. And the same thing with the Poker Stars and the online playing state by state, mm-hmm. same type of thing. You know, it's baby steps, I guess, and a couple of articles that are showing the first baby steps. So we commend both states and both legislatures or lawmakers in those states mm-hmm. for being broad-minded and seeing the potential and putting realistically the downside, which there isn't much, and proceeding forward.
Sure. And if I may, just a brief public service announcement to all of our listeners in the United States. Look, this stuff does not happen in a vacuum. A lot of time, a lot of effort has been spent by lobbyists, people, you know, like the Poker Players Alliance, and people who are really, really trying to get poker legalized and regulated, and they succeeded in Nevada, they succeeded in New Jersey, and if you really, really want to have it back, go ahead and send legislators your support, send the lobbyists your, you know, support, maybe a little bit of funding, and get them on the case of the legislators to get it legalized back in your state. You say, as California goes, so goes the nation. If you're in California, make it happen. You got to work for it. It's not going to, you know, happen if you just sort of let everyone else do all the hard work for you. You got to take action and, you know, convince these people that, hey, this is what we want. It's about freedom, land of the free, right? So there's my little political speech there.
No, I agree. Get involved and make your desires and make it known and be part of the groundswell. So yeah, that's very cool.
Sounds good.
Well, it's tough to prove or disprove a concept that falls into the realm of science fiction. Here's a pretty solid piece of evidence against one favorite topic.
One outer. A humorous, peculiar, significant, or noteworthy story from the past poker home game.
Well, Rob, we've kind of had a sports theme in some of our things today. We talked about the program that, or the game variant and stud that included football.
Right.
And as everybody knows, I kind of went through a bunch of things that happened in March in the synopsis, but one thing I left out is March Madness.
Of course.
Big thing here in college basketball where the brackets happen and everybody runs their brackets and tries to pick who the teams will survive that initial lot of 64 and make it all the way down to, you know, the winner.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, I think it was 2 years ago. I'm not positive. It might have been 1 year ago. But there was some pretty big announcement where Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, and definitely one of the richest men in the U.S., put out a prop bet, I guess you call it.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually going to put down a prize of $1 billion.
With a B.
B. If anybody could do a complete bracket all the way through, in other words, never losing any of those guesses all the way from, you know, the starting 64 to the winner of the final team.
Well, what's a billion? What's $1 billion?
That's outlandish odds, just like, just like the lottery. And, of course, everybody thought if anybody was getting even close, he would contact them and say, hey, let me buy you out of this
right.
for $10 million or something like that. But it was a real interesting little thing that I read at the time and kind of kept it out for future reference that just brought a chuckle to me. They talked about this same thing, and it says, the $1 billion March Madness bet disproves time travel, or else it proves that people in the future are just idiots.
All the cards have been dealt for this episode of Top Pair. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and entertaining. Robbie and Bruce will be happy to have you join them for our next show. Just a reminder, we love your input. Contact us via email at feedback@toppair.net. Give us a follow on Twitter at Top Pair and like our Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast Facebook page. After all, we're not always right, just 99% of the time. For a more in-depth look at the Top Pair Home Game Poker Podcast, including access to past episodes, topics to be covered in the future, and links to information mentioned in the show, log on to our website at toppair.net.